Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Refuge. I'm Pastor Jeff. How many of you guys have ever been walking along? And I love when this happens. You're walking along, maybe in a parking lot or in a mall or at work, and all of a sudden you look down and there's like $20 on the ground. That makes for a pretty good day, right? Like, you see that $20 and you're like, ah. Oh. How many of you guys have ever found something, just raise your hand, more than $20 on the ground? Ah, that makes for an even better day, right? I had a guy last night in our Saturday service. He said he and his wife were in Europe, and they found an envelope with over what would be $1,000 of euro on the ground. Good day. Hello, right? If you're like me, though, the next thought is you see that money on the ground, and you're like, is somebody going to pull a string and that $20 is going to be like, oh, joke's on me, right? There's that fear of like, oh my gosh, who's watching? Or if you're like me, you pick up the $20 and you're starting to walk away and you're like, oh, that was probably somebody's money. Should I wait around just a little bit and kind of maybe just hang out for a bit and see if somebody comes and gets that money? And oh, that feeling of guilt of like, oh, should I be taking this? Some of you are like, nope, 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 nope. I take that 20. I put it in the bank. here's the thing is like, that's lunch, right? That's a free lunch. That's yogurt land. That's dinner. Like, this is awesome to find that 20. And here it is. Right, here it is. Every once in a while, something happens in life where we stumble upon it. We didn't look for it. We weren't expecting it. And it brings great joy. In fact, it has great value in our lives. I love this. Pastor Allen, who was just up here, he is our associate pastor. His wife, Billy, amazing couple. They're in Israel, and they're at the Sea of Galilee, and they're standing in the shallow end of the Sea of Galilee, the shore. And they're looking around, and all of a sudden they look down, and there's this glimmering, shimmering thing at the bottom. And they reach down, and they pick it up, and there's this iridescent blue, kind of glass-looking, like little stone-looking thing about that big. And she got it, and she turned it into a necklace, and it is awesome. And you can see when she talks about it, she kind of lights up a little bit. They weren't expecting it. They didn't go jewel hunting that morning, but they found this amazing piece of jewelry. And think about the memories that are tied in with that, being in Israel of all places. And here's this, and it is quite breathtaking. It's a beautiful jewel. And how cool that was for them to see it, because quite frankly, those things do happen in life. As we're walking along, we kind of don't expect it. Something kind of just jumps out at us, and we grab hold of it, and there's great value in it. You know this if you're a garage sale shopper, right? How many of you guys are garage sale shoppers, right? You don't really go out garage sailing, like looking specifically for something. Most of the time we go out, we're like, oh, I feel like shopping. This is the cheap avenue. Let's do it, right? Saturday morning, nothing else to do. Let's walk around. And you're kind of walking through these garage sales. You're going from garage sale to garage sale. And all of a sudden something, you see something that maybe takes you back to your childhood where you're like, oh, I remember we used to have one of those. And the people who were running the garage sale have no idea. They're like, let's get rid of this garbage. Let's get rid of it. Get it out of the house, right? Maybe it's like a Star Wars action figure if you're like me. It's like, oh my gosh. I remember playing with these on my living room floor with my green shag carpet and playing with these Star Wars action figures. And it brings back that memory. And to you, you didn't expect to see it. You didn't go out looking for it. But when you came upon it, oh, the value that you put on finding that one item at that garage sale. It means everything to you. It meant nothing to them. They're willing to get rid of it for $5. One more. Awesome story. About 10 years ago, my grandma is 99. She's going to turn 99 in a couple months. She lives with my mom. About 10 years ago or so, she moves in with my mom, and we had to sell her house. And we had to do it pretty quickly, and we were kind of going through, and some of you are like, we know what that story is all about, we know what that's like, and we were going through the stuff, and you know, we're trying to get things that are valuable to us, but you know, we didn't get everything, and so as we're kind of getting ready to sell the house, and people are going to walk through, and they're going to start buying things out of this house, we had a really good friend of ours, her name is Pauline, and she was, we didn't know this, unbeknownst to us, she's walking through, and she's grabbing certain items that she thought maybe we had missed, but that would be valuable to us later on. That Christmas, Pauline comes over with a box, and we open it, and here are some like valuable treasures that she had held back so that we could open them, so we could, that would belong to my grandma and grandpa, so that we could be wowed by this treasure. Things like that. We're kind of going through life. We don't expect those things to happen, but when we find them, there is an incredible value put on those things. And Jesus, this morning in Matthew chapter 13, he's going to say, the kingdom of God is like one of these treasures. You didn't expect it. You couldn't have expected it. You didn't see it coming. But when you find it, when you find this kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, there is immeasurable, immense value. So turn with me in Matthew chapter 13. In your Bibles. Before we jump in on our passage this morning, though, let me share with you. Wednesday night, we are going to hit more of Matthew chapter 13. Literally this morning, I'm going to hit 3 verses of Matthew chapter 13. So that leaves a lot left in our Matthew study. So we will hit more about the kingdom of God on Wednesday. Now, before we just jump right in and we start talking about these 3 very, I think, impactful verses, I think it's helpful for us to all be on the same page with what Jesus is talking about when he says the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven or the place where Jesus rules and reigns. Because a lot has been written and talked about over time about this idea. When is the kingdom of God? Is it here? Is it here now? Will it be here in the future? What is this kingdom of God? So I want to help us this morning, before we just start throwing out this word kingdom of God, I want us to get to a common understanding of what it means. So just quickly, let me tell you this. The kingdom of God is not what the Jews expected. The Jews were expecting an actual physical reigning king to come and sit on the throne, to overthrow those terrible Romans, right? Get them out of the picture, and we will be the king's soldiers, and we will be the one who serves the king, and we will be in there to rule and reign with him physically on earth. And Jesus is saying, at least for now, this is not the type of kingdom that I'm talking about. This is not the type of kingdom that I have come to bring. And I will just say, not right now. This is a different kind of kingdom altogether. Jesus also says this, the entry point, in essence, the key to this kingdom is me. Jesus is saying, I am the key to the kingdom. If you're going to enter into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, then you will go through me. Jesus is essential. In fact, what he says is, if you're going to enter the kingdom, you have to have faith in me. And he even says the faith of a child. He likens this faith unto the faith of a child. If you're going to enter to God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, it will be through Jesus by putting faith in him. Here's what Jesus has said in his own words in Mark 1, verse 15. He says, the other aspect of this is repentance. If you're going to enter God's kingdom, there needs to be repentance. Here's what Jesus says. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. The Sermon on the Mount, which we talked about a number of weeks ago, Jesus is laying out the principles of this kingdom. I mean, you know one of them. He says this, the first shall be last, and the last shall be. And people are like, that makes no sense in what I think the kingdom should be. I mean, Jesus, the kingdom should be us ruling and reigning with you and your king. You're first. I want you to be first. And Jesus is saying, listen, I have a different set of principles for my kingdom people. And he lays that out in the Sermon on the Mount as he's talking to the crowds and he's trying to get them to understand this is a different sort of kingdom than what you're imagining this will be. And very important, lastly, to our understanding of the kingdom this morning is this, the rule of God founded and grounded in Christ, is to bring about redemption to this earth. This is the place where God rules and reigns. This is his kingdom ruling and reigning. And we, his kingdom people, are those who put full trust and faith in Jesus, undivided hearts, demonstrating God's love to people, love for him, finding righteousness and justice and peace and joy and freedom from sin and guilt. Those are kingdom people living in God's kingdom. So when Jesus comes to his disciples that day, and they're in the house. They've retreated away from the crowds. And he's saying, listen, we have to get this. You have to understand. The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like. He's saying, I want you to know what this kingdom is all about. And so this morning, the greatest treasure comes at an unexpected surprise. They weren't expecting it. They didn't see it. And yet has immense, immeasurable value. I'm going to look at Matthew, look at 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, Jesus is sitting with his guys and he's kind of sharing about what this kingdom is going to be like. And we're only going to look at three verses this morning. So verse 44, he says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now there's a second parable he just kind of segues right onto with a similar meaning. He says this, again, verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What I want to do for us this morning is draw out four lessons I think Jesus is teaching his disciples that day about the kingdom of heaven, and four lessons I think we can all glean from and learn from about this kingdom. And lesson number one is this. Finding the kingdom of heaven, finding life with Jesus as king, has immeasurable value. It is extremely valuable. In fact, he would say it's worth everything. Lesson number one is that this kingdom has immeasurable value and is worth everything. Now, I would just say, I think as I look at these passages, this is probably his number one lesson that he wants his disciples to know. And so what he says is, and they would have known this, it's like this treasure that was found in a field. And maybe today we would scratch our heads and think, who puts treasure in a field? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. How much treasure could you really put in the field? And what kind of treasure was he finding? Back in the day, there was no Chase Bank or Bank of America, right? So what would happen would be that people, Jews in this particular case, would go and they would bury their treasure or their value in a field. Why would they do that? Possibly because somebody was coming to overthrow them or to take them out. And you can't run very well with all your treasure as you're trying to get away from people, right? And so what they would do is they'd bury it and more than likely come back at some point, retrieve the land, retrieve the field. But what happens if they aren't able to come back to the land, right? Maybe they've had to run to a different country, or maybe they've even been wiped out and this land kind of stays there. And maybe that land passes from time to time to time until one day somebody's working that field and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, whoa, wow, look what I found. Second one, right? What's so valuable about a pearl? I can get those at SeaWorld, right? SeaWorld has pearls. What's the big deal about pearls? Well, pearls to them would have been more like diamonds of the day. Because, listen, how do we get pearls today? We dive for pearls, right? We have technology that allows us to see clearly underwater, and oxygen units that allow us to dive down deep, right? And pressurization, however that scuba stuff works, right? And we find those oysters, but what do they have? They have a boat and probably rocks around their waists, and they're jumping off into dark abyss, and they're scouring the bottom looking for pearls, right? A lot harder to find pearls back then. And so when someone, maybe a pearl merchant is probably what they, more than likely what this guy is, he knows pearls. When you come across one that is gorgeous and flawless and maybe big, right? Whatever that looks like, right? Then you know you found something great because these things are rare. We don't find these all over the place. So Jesus, what is Jesus saying? He's saying, listen, my kingdom is like this thing that has immense, immense value. You don't find it everywhere. You can't find it everywhere. And in fact, it's worth everything. Both these guys realize that. I'm not going to find treasure like this just anywhere. It's worth, this land is worth everything that I have. And the guy who's the pearl merchant, who knows pearls, says, I'm not going to find a pearl like this just anywhere. So he goes and he sells everything. He's saying immeasurable value. Jesus equates the kingdom to that. Well, why does he do that? Why does he equate the kingdom to something of immeasurable value? Why is he telling these disciples that day about this? Because he knows something. At some point, he's going to say this. Listen, our relationship, guys, fellas, as we gather around, at some point, somebody's going to challenge our relationship together. The value that you find right now in me is going to be challenged later on. Some people are going to come and they're going to say, listen, it's your life or you stop walking with Jesus or we're going to take you out. How much do you value me? How much will you value me then? Some of you, listen, he's going to tell them, some of you are going to lose your families because they're not going to like you following me. How much will you value me then? And he's saying, listen, my kingdom, this kingdom that I'm talking about is of immeasurable value. Stick with me. Stay with me. I'm promising you this. It is of great significance in your life. It will be worth you valuing me above all things. Where do we see this? We see this with the rich young ruler. Jesus comes to this guy. The guy says, I want to follow you. And Jesus says what to him? Go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And the guy's like, oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. Why? Because he didn't see the value of the kingdom of heaven. He saw the value of his money, but he thought, there's no way that you're more valuable than this value that I find in my finances. He goes on. He'll say this to some of his disciples as they say they want to follow me. He says this, if you do not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life, such person cannot be my disciple. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He's using comparative force there. What he's saying is, in your value estimation of me, if you're going to follow me, I need to be more valuable than anything of your relationships, even more valuable than the person sitting next to you, to your right or to your left. I need to be more valuable than even that person. He's not saying, go hate your mother and father. Don't do that, right? What he's saying is in value. And listen, here's the thing, which is incredible to me. These guys got it, right? The treasure guy, the pearl guy, they got it. Because what they said was not under any obligation or force, just in the realization of the value of what they had found. And Jesus is going for that with his disciples. He's saying, listen, just in the realization of who I am and what this kingdom of God looks like, you will want to value me. There's something about this kingdom that will enthrall you and call you deeper into relationship with me. Paul got this, Philippians 3:7. He says this, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, he says this, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord. And now he goes to a value issue, whose sake I have lost all things. Here's the value issue. I consider them rubbish, garbage, in comparison to the value of knowing Christ more and more and more and better and better and better. I consider all things as garbage. The value issue of what Paul's saying here is, listen, this insurmountable, immeasurable value I find in Christ and in his kingdom and living life with him is above all other things. And the question I think Jesus is drawing out is this, is he really worth abandoning everything for? Do we really believe that living for Jesus, living for his kingdom, living the kingdom life is so good and so satisfying that we will do anything we can to live it? I think that's the challenge that Jesus is giving to us this morning, is giving to me this morning, is giving to his disciples that day, because he knows there is a time when it is going to be challenged. Am I more valuable to you, more satisfying, better than any other option to you? Lesson number one, the value of the kingdom of heaven is immeasurable and worth all that we can experience. Lesson number two is this, that the kingdom of heaven is not obvious to all people. The kingdom of heaven is not obvious to all people. What do I mean by that? Well, the treasure was what? Hidden in the field, right? It's in the field. Somebody had to uncover that, right? Not everybody could see it. This guy found it. The pearl, right? He had to be searched for the pearl. It was searched for. I'm looking at pearls, and I found this pearl amazing value. Not everyone sees the kingdom. Not everyone has, Jesus would say, eyes to see and ears to hear, right? Sometimes because of their hard hearts, sometimes because of a bad experience that they have. Somehow they do not see the kingdom. It's not as obvious to all people as maybe it is to you this morning. There's this hidden nature about the kingdom. Look at chapter 13, and we'll dive more into this on Wednesday. But Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, right there, the parable of the mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like this mustard seed, which he says is the what of all seeds? Smallest, right? Least of all seeds. Why does he use that analogy, the smallest or the least? Why not the biggest, the grandest, the most bold of all seeds? Because what he's describing is the kingdom of God, and there's a certain hidden, quiet element about the kingdom of God. Look at the next one parable after that. He talks about the kingdom of the leaven, right? And it says this, this leaven, which a woman took and hid the leaven in the meal, right? Hid it. Why is she hiding it? Why not just you leave that word out and just put in leaven? Because what Jesus is saying is there's this kind of quiet element about the kingdom of God. Not everybody sees it. It's not readily apparent to all people. But to be fair, it's expanding, it's growing, right? That's the purpose of those two parables. But Jesus is saying here, and listen, I think this is important for us to see, is I'm not trying to keep the kingdom hidden. Jesus doesn't come to say, let's keep it all a secret, keep it all in, right? Jesus comes to reveal the kingdom and to share it. But what he sees, listen, is that this is hard. The kingdom work is hard work. Where do we see that? Jesus doesn't come to rule and reign with the power of an army, right? With the Roman army. He's not trying to overtake them. What does he do in the very beginning of chapter 13? He's launching out something. What's he launching out? The parable of the sower. Seed, right? And the seed, he says, equates to the word. And that word is not this immense army. It's the word. It's the preaching. It's the teaching, right? And here's the crazy thing is that word doesn't find soft ground, fertile ground, very often, it seems. In fact, there's more occasions where it finds the hard, rocky soil or the soil that grows up and is choked out or the soil where the enemy comes and takes it away. Jesus is saying, listen, there's this nature of the kingdom that is quiet. And I'm looking for those people who it lands in the soft soil where there's growth and maturity and they're rising up. There's a certain element to this kingdom that not everyone sees. But again, Jesus is trying to reveal it. But listen, when it takes root, when that word takes root, when that person begins to see what life in the kingdom is like, Jesus is saying, that's the treasure. He finds the treasure. He finds the pearl. There's excitement. There's a recognition of the immeasurable value. I've got to sell everything. I've got to get to it. That's what it looks like when you find that kingdom, when you find the kingdom of heaven. But here's the question that I ask you this morning. Are you ready to wade out into a kingdom where a world where not everybody sees what you see? Are you ready to wade out into a world that doesn't understand the value that you have found in King Jesus? Because I think sometimes we wade out into a world and we expect them to follow and obey, follow and obey. They should understand this. Why don't they understand this? It's common sense. Come on, don't you see it? Don't you see it? But see, something happened with you. You stumbled upon something. God called you to something. You were searching, you found something. And when you found it, there was this feeling of like, oh my goodness, how could I not live for this? How could I not live for this, change everything and begin to follow King Jesus? But not everybody has found that. And we see this in the principles that we find in the kingdom. Not everyone sees it. It's not clear to all people. In fact, listen to what John writes. He says this, he was in the world and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not everyone's going to get this. Not everyone's going to see it. And we're wading into a world with the expectation that you should just get this, but they don't. And so let me submit to you this. If you're a kingdom person, if you get it, if you've seen it, if you've experienced the value of King Jesus, the treasure that is in his kingdom, if you've been called to that, then listen, refuge, refugees, we need to be people who are living this kingdom life out clearly for people to see it. Maybe that's your coworkers or your families or the people you run into at the coffee shop. They need to see kingdom people. They need to see what it looks like for of someone who has something different about them. Because they found something of immense, immeasurable value. Are we those people? Are we bringing, in some essence, not in its fullness or entirety, but in some way bringing the kingdom to people? Family get-togethers, when we hang out with the guys, are we kingdom people? Are we helping them to see what it's like to live with Jesus as king? Because listen, lesson number two, it's not obvious to all people. Yeah, but they should have known. Yeah, they don't. They haven't stumbled upon the treasure. They haven't seen the kingdom. They haven't searched for the pearl. They don't understand it. So lesson number one for us this morning is this kingdom, I hope we've found out that it is of immense value. Lesson number two, not everybody sees it. I think it's our obligation to the king. It's our desire to serve him and to live as clearly as possible kingdom lives. Lesson number three is this. The kingdom of God is a source of joy. The kingdom of God, living with the king in his kingdom, should bring immense joy. Look at 44b. And for what? Joy over it. He goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. For joy over finding this treasure, he goes and sells all that he has. Kingdom life should bring joy. No one goes sadly and gloomily into discipleship with Jesus. I guess I got to do this. Oh, great. Right? Those disciples that day, as they're sitting with Jesus, they're not like, oh, gosh, here we go again. It's Jesus, this guy. And Jesus isn't saying, guys, this is going to be super hard, and I don't know. Like, I don't even know if we should be here or whatever. Like, it's not that. Jesus is saying, yeah, it's going to be hard, but I've got something for you. There's gold at the end of this tunnel, right? At the end of this rainbow, there is something powerful and special for you here. And yeah, I'm not going to deny the fact that it's going to be hard, but there is joy in this kingdom. He sold all he had. The guy sold all he had. Not out of obligation, not out of guilt, not out of pressure, but in joy of finding this treasure, in joy of finding life in Jesus, in the King. This is something altogether different than finding religion or finding rules that you can hold other people to and say, this is the right way. This is something altogether, that doesn't bring joy, right? There's no joy in that. This is about finding a relationship with Jesus, the King, and beginning to live out life with him. Jesus is saying that's where the joy is. That thing that you experience at the Harvest Crusade or when you heard those words from that person and all of a sudden something welled up inside of you and you're like, I got to go forward. What am I doing? I'm going forward. And then that feeling afterwards where it's like, freedom. There's freedom. I'm free. Like, if that's true, what he did, I'm free. Not only am I saved, that's great, but there is freedom in Jesus. And I'm happy. There's joy. Wow. If that's happened to you, that's the joy that Jesus was talking about. There is joy in me. Difficult circumstances. We could list hundreds of difficult circumstances and things that maybe try to rob or steal our joy. But there is joy in Jesus. The condition of the soul of the disciple who comes to Jesus doesn't say, do I have to give that up? It says, oh, what can I do? I just found this thing. I got to have it. I'll do anything I can to have it. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. That's what the kingdom of God is like. The Bible makes it clear. John 15:11. You don't have to turn there. I'll read them to you. John 15:11. Jesus is kind of summing up with his disciples, and he says this. Listen, the things I've spoken unto you, I've spoken that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. That your joy, that the things that I've said to you, I haven't said because I want you to be pressured or feel guilty or any of those things. I've said them so you will begin to obey me, so you will live out of my life, my kingdom principles, and you will have the fullness of joy in your life. 1 John 1, John writes this, "These things I write unto you that your joy might be full." John 16, 24, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full." Are we getting the picture here? There's some fullness of joy that is promised in the text, in the Bible, that if we follow him, if we obey him, if he's our king, and we're living as kingdom people, there should be some joy in our lives. So here's what I came to as I'm writing this. I'm thinking, Jeff, are you joyful? Do you have joy? And I think that's good for us. That's healthy for us. And maybe that's something that you would do this morning. We just kind of take a joy check. Let me look down the list. Am I a joyful person? Am I living life with joy? Why? Not because maybe all the circumstances are lining up or everything is so great, but because I have found the treasure. I know the pearl. I know it's worth everything. It's immeasurable. And Jesus is saying, in my life with me, there will be joy. With my kingdom people, you will have joy. And so then I kind of thought to myself, well, maybe somebody's sitting there thinking, well, I don't have a lot of joy in my life. I'm pretty sure I gave my life to the Lord at some point, and I'm just kind of living without joy. Let me submit to you a couple things. One is possibly that somehow along the line, you've been derailed to start living in a different type of kingdom than the one that Christ was calling us to. I would say this. Number one, maybe you've believed something falsely about God. That somehow he is after you and that he doesn't like you. Or is that Pastor Bill prayed about while he was singing today, that he says somehow he's this distant God, that he's unreachable, unattainable, that he doesn't care. Maybe you started to believe that about God. And I would just say, if that is true, then I could totally understand how this would be a hard life not filled with very much joy. But that's not the God that we see in Scripture. And that's not who Jesus is at all with his followers, right? Loving, kind, compassionate, caring, desiring relationship with people. Maybe you've derailed off to that kind of God, and I would say come back to the God that we find in Scripture. Maybe you've stopped living in the kingdom of God and you've started to develop your own kingdom off to the side somewhere where it's all about us and it's all about me and I'm building this kingdom. God, you know, you're there, but I'm not really living for your kingdom. I'm kind of just doing my kingdom stuff, and at some point, we'll get you back in again, we'll work out a plan, and you can come back and reign, but for now, I'm going to kind of push off this, and I'm going to live my own life out. And I would say if that's you, and because that's me at times, I find myself moving this direction, I'm like, okay, I got to get back. If that's you, then I know what it feels like to live joylessly in that type of setting, where I become my own rule maker, setting, I'm building my own kingdom, and somehow we're just kind of throwing God in the mix. And I'd say, get back to saying, God, you are my king. I want to live in your kingdom. I want to be obedient to your calling in my life. Jesus says, to follow me, disciples, and I will bring you joy. There'll be joy in the life that I have for you. Come back and reestablish his kingdom again. Maybe on the flip side of that, maybe you believed that somehow you can't get yourself rid of guilt or shame. And maybe that has robbed the joy out of your life. And again, I can understand where that would. Where it's like, I don't think I could ever be accepted by the Lord. And yet we see the principle in Scripture where Jesus is laying down his life for that purpose. So you wouldn't have to live, what it said, without guilt or shame. That you could come to him and say, I need to be rid of all this, and I need joy. Bring joy back into my life. These things that have held me back for way too long, I need to get rid of them. Lord, I bring them before you. Maybe that's you this morning. And maybe, just maybe, we've just forgotten to listen. We've forgotten to whose son and daughter we are. That we forgot to spend time with the king. And so I want to encourage you, there's a joy check that we all need to do. We need to come and we need to say, why am I not joyful? Because the promise is there in Scripture that I will have joy in Christ Jesus. as I'm living out his kingdom life, I will have that joy. So why don't I have it? And I just need to run down that list and say, Lord, where is that joy? What's been robbed from me? Bring back, listen, bring back the joy of my salvation. Bring it back, Lord. Lesson number one, we found that the kingdom is immeasurable. It has immeasurable value. It's worth everything. Lesson number two is that, the kingdom of God is not obvious to all. And I think there's some part of us that if we've discovered Christ Jesus and we're living in his kingdom, we need to share that kingdom life with other people. And number three is that this life that he's talking about, it should be filled with joy. There should be joy in our lives. And last one this morning, lesson number four. The kingdom of God is stumbled on by some and sought out by others. The kingdom of God is stumbled on by some and sought out by others. Now, let me just be very clear here, because I think there could be some misunderstanding. From the heavenly perspective, from God's perspective, he's seeking everyone, right? He's designing relationship. He's sending out the message to everyone. And so when I say that stumbled upon, it's not like, I found God. And hey, God, it's not discovery on God's end. God's like, I've been reaching out to you, right? I've been trying to gain that relationship with you and calling you. And so when I say that it's stumbled on by a human perspective. And here's what I mean. Not everyone grew up in the church. And maybe that was you, and you don't know all the religious terms and technology, and what do we say, and how do I do this, and I don't know, I feel uncomfortable in church, right? And one day, you're kind of just going, and all of a sudden, maybe this is your testimony, God just reaches out, and he grabs hold of you, and there was no foundational building through your parents or any of that. It was just like, I stumbled upon him, and I found this treasure. I found this thing, and I couldn't go on without it. I needed it. I needed it. I needed it. I knew I needed it. It's right and what I needed. Maybe that was you, and maybe that's you here this morning. I know there will be people this weekend who go to the Harvest Crusade, invited by some of you, right, who are going to walk into that stadium thinking they're going to be like, oh, this is a concert. Cool. Check it out. No big deal. I know it's a Christian concert, but I won't get caught up in that. And the Lord will reach out and grab hold of their hearts. And there'll be something that will happen that will be life-changing for many people. That would be the people that said, hey, I found something. And you know what it'll look like when they do that? Tears in their eyes, right? Weeping like, oh, I need to give my life to the Lord. I need to repent. I need to turn to him, right? There's something powerfully emotional yet spiritually strong that happens inside of them that they just like, I'll never be this. I'm ruined. And that will be an awesome day when that happens. But they kind of just stumble on it. And then there's other people. The guy who's searching for the pearl, right? He knows what pearls look like. He's been around the block. He sees everything. But he finds a pearl, and he knows what it means. This is an amazing pearl. And some of us are like that. Grew up in the church. Parents are Christian. Kind of know religion and religious things. And maybe at one point you're like, you know what, that was my parents' thing, and I'm kind of moving on. I'm maturing, and I don't know if that's for me. And so I kind of go on this, you know, a little spiritual journey where I look around, and I weigh out all my options, and I see what's over here, and I kind of see what's over here, and we're kind of just looking around. I got to find it. But when that moment happens that Jesus reaches out and takes hold of your heart, and it's no longer what your parents believe, but it's what you believe, and there's this feeling of like, measurable value. I will never be the same. I mean, I know religions and I know things and I've kind of been a part of it, but I haven't really been a part of it. I searched, but then I find the pearl, the one that is unlike any other pearl that has more value than all my pearls that I've ever had or searched for or sought after. And this one, I found it. And Jesus saying, yeah, that's what the kingdom of God is like. When you take hold of it, when you see it, oh, immeasurable value. And that was me. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to Christian school. I went to a youth group. And I knew the Lord. But there was this moment I remember after I got back from school and that the Lord just showed me things in his word. And it just came, he came to life to me. It was like, oh, this is real. It's real. And the Bible makes sense and it fits together. And it was just like this eye-opening moment for me where it was like, everything else didn't matter. This is what matters. And so I don't know where you're at here this morning, maybe you're the person who's just like, I stumbled into church, right? My friends brought me. And I'm starting to hear things that maybe make sense to me a little bit, that Jesus is something more to me than just a guy or a teacher. Or maybe that person who's like, I've been on a spiritual journey since I was little, and my parents say this, and people say this, and my friends say this, but I'm starting to realize that Jesus, there's something to this guy, right? There's something special and unique about him, and maybe I'll take that next step and live for him. I got one thing to close this. There's a 15-year-old boy who then grows up and becomes Charles Spurgeon. How many of you guys know who Charles Spurgeon is, right? Well, he, in an awesome way, accounts how he came to know the Lord. And he wrote it down. Charles Spurgeon is like one of the most famous preachers, writers, pastors. Like, he is like a famous Christian dude. So what I thought would be cool is if you got to hear his testimony. And I want you to see the moment that he discovers this treasure of the kingdom. Listen to what he says. I sometimes think I might have been in darkness and despair until now, had it not been for the goodness of God in sending a snowstorm one Sunday morning. While I was going to a certain place of worship, in other words, he was going to a different church, I turned down a side street and came to a little primitive Methodist church. In that chapel, there may have been a dozen or 15 people. I had heard the primitive Methodists, how they sang so loudly that made people's heads ache. But that didn't matter to me. I wanted to know what I might do to be saved. The minister did not come that morning. He was snowed up. He didn't make it, probably because of the snow. Didn't make it there. At last, a very thin-looking man, a shoemaker or tailor or something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. Now, it is well that preachers be instructed, but this man was really stupid. He says that. It's like, okay, right? He was obligated, listen, to stick to his text for the simple reason that he had little else to say. The text was, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, Isaiah 45:22. He did not even pronounce the words right at all, but that did not matter. There was, I thought, a glimmer of hope for me in that text. When he had managed to spin about 10 minutes or so, he was at the end of his tether, and it was like, I'm done. Then he looked at me under the gallery, and I dare say, with so few present, he knew me to be a stranger. Oh, what a terrible feeling in a church, right? Just fixing his eyes on me, as he knew all my heart, he said, listen, young man, you look very miserable. Well, I did, but I had not been accustomed to have remarks made from the pulpit on my personal appearance before. However, it was a good blow, struck right home. He continued, and you will always be miserable, miserable in life and miserable in death, if you do not obey the text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved. Then lifting up his hands, he shouted, young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but look and live. Listen to what happens next. I saw at once the way of salvation. I know not what else he said. I did not take much notice of it. I was so possessed with that one thought. I had been waiting to do 50 things, but when I heard that word, look, what a charming word it seemed to me. Oh, I looked until I could almost have looked my eyes away. And I want you to see the treasure here. There and then the cloud was gone. The darkness had rolled away. And that moment I saw the sun. I could have risen that instant and sung with the most enthusiastic of them, of the precious blood of Christ and to the simple faith which looks alone to him. Oh, that somebody would have told me this before. Trust Christ and you will be saved. There was a treasure moment there where he says, I would have stood up in that very sanctuary with those 14 to 15 people, and I would have sung out loud for what I was seeing and for what I experienced. I would hold nothing back because of what I just saw. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us this morning. Listen, it's the kingdom of God is like the guy who finds the treasure in the field or the guy who knows pearls and he knows that this is an amazing one, so much so that they'll say, I'll get rid of everything to follow him. And I think Jesus is saying that same thing to us this morning. Are we willing to follow after him, to chase after him, to say, Lord, you are my God and I will come back to following you again, or I will follow you again for the first time because I believe there is fullness and value in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray that there will be some of us who will say, I have not seized the day in coming after your kingdom. I have not experienced the joy, and I am tired of that kind of religious Christianity, and instead, I want a relationship with great joy in following you. I believe that's what your word is teaching us. There should be great joy in following our King in his kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray for some this morning to come back to you again, to walk with you again. And I also believe this morning, Lord, there are some, maybe for the first time, are hearing that there is joy in following Jesus. Maybe seems like a contradiction to some, Lord, but indeed there is joy. In fact, the fullness of joy is in following you. And so I pray for those people, Lord, that they would give, they would surrender their lives to you and begin to live out their lives for your kingdom, for your glory, and for your purpose. Do that work in us this morning. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.